Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. Go on, let's be friends.
I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is God Talk for the next half hour on 90.3 NEAR FM.
As always, we'll be talking about the things that matter and grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
And our website is godtalkradioblog.wordpress.com and the Twitter account is @NEARFMGodTalk.
And if you can join, if you want to join in the discussion through our text line, it's 087-979-5454.
There you go. And it's great to have you back, Paul. And
yeah, good to be here. Well, I don't think I was away anywhere, was I?
Well, you're...
I think I was here last week too, wasn't I?
That's right, yeah.
And getting a little bit confused here.
Get confused. It's the new year. I'm still not settled yet. Wondering what year we're in at all.
Well, it's the 14th of January.
14th
halfway
of
through January.
Goodness,
so you better,
great. So
you
better hurry
get
up
with the programme. Yep.
Get on my bicycle.
Sure.
So anyway, the question we're going to be looking at this week is, can anger at God be righteous? You know, now this is a huge question.
Yeah.
And I'm going to preface it, Paul, by this. Sometimes when I'm on evangelism on the street talking to people, and I ask them, do they believe that Jesus was perfect? Did he ever make a mistake or do something wrong?
And what kind of answers do you get to that
some
question?
People, in fact, a surprising number of people think, yes, he did.
That he got something wrong, yeah?
When he was in the temple and he got angry,
okay, yeah.
they just equate that. That's wrong.
Because it was violence.
Well, yeah. Well,
anger.
Anger,
and,
yeah.
And also violence.
So,
yeah.
So there's an interesting opener. he wasn't wrong. He was right.
We actually talked about this before. Gosh, I remember a few months ago we talked about the whole thing of anger. And we talked about emotions, that sadness and anger, etc. They're part of being human, and they're actually a gift from God. So we shouldn't deny our emotions. Emotions are a natural reaction to the situations of life. And you think of Jesus weeping. Jesus was angry in quite a number of occasions. I mean, we know of a few of them. He was angry, for example, at the hardness of heart of the religious leaders that he was
the Pharisees.
Up against.
Yeah.
And he was, of course,
yeah.
And then we know that he came into the temple grounds and he found these people making a lot of money there, just treating it as a kind of a commercial enterprise. And he was very angry with them and he scattered the tables and so on and he cast out the money changers. So, well, yeah. Of course, you could say, well, he had a perfect right to do that. So what right do we have to be angry? And I would say, well, there are things we should be angry with and at. And if we're not angry, there's something wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think there's an article in it was in Christianity Today by a chap called J. Todd Billings.
Mm.
And it had that title, you
that's
know,
right,
Can
yeah.
Anger at God
Yeah, that's what
be
kind
righteous.
Of got us thinking about this. Because
what was his background, this gentleman?
Well, he was diagnosed with cancer and his testimony is that he returned to the book of Psalms. And it's kind of interesting because, as you know, that's one of our one of the things we do. We finish almost all our programs with a psalm and we remind listeners that it's Jesus's prayer book. But he said he started to pray the Psalms that he had merely read before or skipped over altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he was receiving intense chemo, a seminary student told him that he was praying Psalm 102 for me. And I'll just read a couple of verses for that psalm. This was what somebody said. This is what I'm praying for you, Todd.
Right.
In my distress, I groan aloud. I am reduced to skin and bones. Well, imagine somebody, a cancer sufferer,
yeah,
that hits home, doesn't it?
With a bit of that.
He says, I'm like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. And Todd says, my heart skipped a beat. As I read on, I found that the psalm contained a complaint and a petition that I felt deeply but did not know how to express. And he says, the psalm says, in the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. And the writer says, please, Lord, my children are 1 and 3. Please don't cut me off in the midst of my days. Your years, O God, gone through all the generations. You have plenty. So he's having this little argument with God. You go on forever. You have plenty of time. I just have a certain limit of time. Why can't I see my my kids grow up? Why can't I? Why?
I think there's a temptation, Paul, to do one of two things. If you're really in a place like that where you're saying this why question, you can like give stiff upper lip to it and kind of bottle it in and mm-hmm. be very religious when you talk to God in terms of what you think he
almost
might
kind
like
of
to
fatalistic
hear.
Like
no my point is this is that there's unreality can creep in, and that's a huge temptation, and that's
Christians,
what we see in religious circles.
And what kind of what
well, what
of
I mean is people
that,
are they want to be either happy clappy or putting a brave face all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and the reality is there's days when it's just black and there's days when they're in a dark spot. You know,
mm-hmm, sure.
And we see this. This is the wild thing about so much of the Psalms are ignored because they're not happy clappy, you know, you know, they're real gutsy because they're talking mm-hmm. about these deep and heartfelt emotions. And I think it's wonderful. You know, God's not so, you know, God's big enough to take some of this. That's
sure.
one way of putting it.
Yeah, and we were thinking, because we quoted one of these psalms before, one of our previous programs, Psalm 88, which is one of the gloomiest, the darkest of all.
I think it's the only psalm with no hope.
Yeah.
In itself.
Yeah,
Psalm 88.
No, that's right. Yeah. So it ends with the words, "Darkness has become my only companion."
Oh, wow.
That's really ending on a very, very, very dark note. Yeah. And I mean, there are times, and well,
go down well in today's press.
Couple
where
of things
they just
I
give depression on all the news items and everything. Just end on that, Sam.
Yeah. But the writer of this article made the comment that you know he was talking about his childhood, his own upbringing in a Christian church that used the Psalms a lot. They were kind of a Bible-centered church. They memorized, they sang Psalms, along with other contemporary songs, a lot of Psalms. And he said, but what he began to notice as he grew into adulthood was that the church was picking a very narrow band of sentiments. So they were zooming in on the praise and thanksgiving Psalms, but mm-hmm. sadness turned to joy, yes. Confession to God, yes. But he said, as I read the book of Psalms, a lot of the Psalms didn't fit into that mode. So it says many of them were protest to God. They expressed fear. They expressed anger. And he says he had been taught that the Psalms were God's word. They were given for our own prayer. But he had no way to incorporate the most widespread type of Psalm. He says about 40% of the book are actually Psalms of lament.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Did you ever notice, Paul, sometimes if you're in a church or a Christian gathering and there might be a section of scripture read out or something
mm-hmm.
and as soon as they've finished, do you ever read the next line, the one they didn't read out? And typically it's the opposite sentiment to what's just been expressed, you know.
Yeah.
And at the same point, you know, is that there's two sides to the coin. But the Lord is wonderful, you know. He knows our feelings, he knows our hurts, and it's like when you're going through this really dark thing, and the worst thing I believe is when you think you're absolutely alone going through something. You know, when you know that the creator of the universe has not only gone through it himself, but that he empathizes, that he feels, and he can help, and he can bring you out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he can give you hope in the darkest days. You know, that is such a, that's where hope starts, and out of hope comes faith, you know, that there will be a better day that you can come out. Like yesterday now, I was listening to Mick O'Brien's program. Mick, who does the wonderful Sunday morning.
Uh-huh. And always gives us a plug, of course.
He gives a great plug, yeah. I hope you got your fiver this week, Mick, in the post.
Those brown envelopes are
not,
working.
You've got to get a big bill from him. But anyway, we'll see about that one.
But anyway, yesterday?
Anyway, yesterday, as he often does, at the end of his program, he prays for people. And there's a lot of people on his list. It seems to be growing all the time. But there are people with real needs. There's people who got cancer diagnosis. You know, there's people who are suffering. There's some who are dealing with bereavements. There's all sorts, but the real life issues and problems, you know. And to me, I just think it seems crude to say it, but it's kind of fresh to hear that, you know, that this isn't just sweetie prayers, you know, or happy days, you know. There's time to rejoice. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes and say, Paul, this is
that's
time
right.
to
it's
weep
time
and a time to mourn.
To weep, yeah. And Jesus does say, blessed are those who weep, for you shall be comforted.
Yeah.
So there is comfort there, and by what does the old hymn say? I was at a funeral actually recently, and they sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus," and you know those wonderful lines, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer."
Yeah.
In other words, by bringing it to Him, and that's something that the Psalms really help us to do. Yeah. And the writer of this article says, well, that a lot of this Christian music and a lot of what people sing and pray in church, we focus on the Psalms of praise, the Psalms of thanksgiving, the Psalms that give glory to God, and so on. But he reckons, right or wrong, I don't know, about 40% are actually Psalms from a dark place.
Yeah, wow.
They're prayers of people going through what Psalm 23 famously calls the valley of the shadow of death,
yeah,
the valley of deep darkness. And that it's wonderful that God knows us and has given us prayers that we can pray from those dark places.
Yeah.
I was reading something else on, I've just mentioned it to you earlier, a man called David Robertson, whose blog I read. He went through a very long period of severe illness. In fact, he almost died. And he says, "I certainly did know the terrors of the night. There were times I could not pray. One time especially my wife remembers when I told her I was in hell and could not pray. I asked her to pray and she couldn't because the blackness was so great. Instead, my family just prayed the Psalms. Ah, the Psalms," he says. "What a treasure trove of wonderful medicine for the soul. How can any Christian survive without them?"
Yeah.
Could you survive without the Psalms?
No, couldn't. And I can't stop thinking of what you said a few minutes ago. You were quoting a song, you know, with that line in it, "Take us to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
It's this sort of practical advice. This is what I love. You know, I work as an architect, as you know, and sometimes I like to get real practical. I say, right, we have a situation here, no matter how bad it is, we have a situation. What are we going to do about the situation?
Mm-hmm.
And the situation is, take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, and sometimes I joke with other believers about who I know they pray a lot. You know, I say, you know, there's going to be a lot of exhausted angels when you arrive in heaven. Yep. They're going to be delighted because they're off the hook. You know, the work that, you know, and there is, isn't there a wonderful story in the scripture about the widow who got justice.
Mm-hmm.
And the unrighteous judge. The judge didn't want to give this person their answer, but was so badgered that they just gave in, you know. And then the fellow called his friend at night, who said, "Give me some bread for my friends." The guy did, the last thing he wanted to do was get out of the bed. But again, the persistence, he got out. So in prayer, you know, yes, the Lord hears all our prayers. It says that the prayers of the saints are like incense. You know,
right.
Bowls of incense, it talks about that.
Yeah, the angels presenting these prayers to God.
Yeah, so they are eternal. They are heard. This is the key thing I'm saying. You think you're talking to the wall. You're not. You're talking to the Lord.
Yeah, I actually had a text on a WhatsApp group that I'm following, a friend of mine, David, with another guy, Johnny. The two of them are actually in Kenya.
Right.
And they're helping out, doing some very practical work there with a group of believers there. But this man, David, who was particularly ill, he'd gone through some really hard, very severe pain and so on, and he says, just read for the WhatsApp, "As I left the hospital, the pain started to return. I was in serious agony all the way home. When I got into the house, there was a power cut. They took me into the lounge and I collapsed in agony on the new sofa. His friend Johnny was in bed and asleep. I think they all started to pray." These were these group of Kenyan believers. "They started to pray for me. What an experience. After about 10 minutes, the pain eased and I was able to get into bed. Amazingly, I fell asleep quickly. I awoke after about 2 hours needing to urinate for the first time in nearly 30 hours. All the pain was gone. I felt completely new inside. I woke this morning hungry and very blessed. Please thank everyone who was praying for us."
Wow.
He says everyone here is thrilled and rejoicing over the miracle. So that's
great.
Just
yeah.
24 hours, less than 24
while
hours.
Well, we serve, never forget this, we serve a miracle working God. You know, if you're a walking, talking, breathing person, you are a miracle. But more than that, God recreates people and heals. It's a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Anthony, because I'm just looking at a paragraph from this article that sort of triggered off this discussion, this article in Christianity Today about expressing with God. And the author says, "I've noticed that many Christian radio stations play positive Christian hits, interspersed with, quote, encouraging words from the Bible, end of quote. Likewise, many church sanctuaries only resound with a narrow range of emotions, not the full scope of the psalmist's repertoire. Joy and encouragement are wonderful, but what of the other emotions in the Psalms? Hopelessness, anger, confusion, loneliness. And Michael Card's song, we cannot accuse Michael Card here of just being happy-clappy, because he's asking, why did it have to be a friend who chose to betray the Lord? Why did he use a kiss to show them that's not what a kiss is for, and so on? Fabulous song.
Yeah, and it brings up a lot of thoughts, really, about the expectations about Jesus. You know, why did it take a thorny crown placed in his head? It should have been a royal one. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's so much on Jesus and the cross that is, like, not expected. And it was like the greatest defeat of all time. Here was the man, the creator of the whole universe, and up naked, nailed, everything taken, all his dignity and his very life taken away from him in a public display.
Sure.
Now, I mean, I thought the devil and his angels were probably rejoicing at that moment.
Yes, you know? But I always love what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He says that you delivered up Jesus. He says you crucified and killed him, but he was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God.
That's wild, isn't it?
Definite plan. So it was part of God's plan. And I really believe that part of that plan and purpose was that we could always say anything we go through. One of the old hymns says he leads us through no darker rooms than he went through before. In other words, we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, because he's been tempted. He has suffered. He's suffered worse than any of us have ever done.
I think it also says if the enemy knew what was happening, he wouldn't have allowed the Lord to be crucified.
So
it's like the greatest positive con job ever.
Anthony, while we were during the song, you mentioned something to me, a story you want to tell, or about the pizza and the three crosses. What's that about?
Well, in my local pizza shop, I regularly go up there, and my darling wife.
There's no advertising on the programme.
They're the best one in town, but I'm not even going to mention who they are. But she asked for a margarita with three particular toppings on it. Mm-hmm. So whenever I get the box, there's three crosses on it, because they go M++++, mm-hmm. and they write the pluses like vertical crosses. And I'm tempted to, I haven't yet done it, but the time will come when I'm going to start explaining or asking them about the centre cross. Mm-hmm. I say, who do you, I'll bring my own pen and I'll draw a little hill and a whatever, and they'll know it's Calvary. And I say, who do you think was supposed to be on that cross? They might say Jesus. Well, do you know what? I'll say, no, it was supposed to be Barabbas. It was supposed to be the head of the criminal gang. And here is a picture of the innocent taking the place of the guilty. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful picture when you see those three crosses, that it's a reminder of innocent Jesus taking my place or your place or everybody's place. So that's pizza good, and the crosses.
You never lose an opportunity.
No.
It's come back to the article. One of the points that he makes, and it really struck home with me, he talks about a lot of churches, again, that just go in for, well, what we might call in a derogatory way, kind of happy-clappy stuff. He says, indeed, more than a few people have actually turned away from the faith altogether because they felt it had no place for their feelings of hopelessness, anger and fear. And I can remember there was a song that we used to be encouraged to sing in a particular church I attended at the time, that went something like this: I have never.
It's like my pizza shop. It'll remain nameless.
Oh, I'm not going to say, but I have never, never, never been so happy, 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 never been so happy in my life. And I had a really hard time singing that, because it just wasn't true. Someone said one time, Christians don't tell lies, they just sing them.
Anyway, it's like I heard Paul, some people don't talk about God Almighty, they talk about God Almighty.
Oh yes, yeah. So it's again, and I think that's one of the wonderful things about the Book of Psalms. It's a real gift from God to us, because it's a book that, if we just start to read through it, expresses all the various emotions. And one of the practices I have, if you see in my Bible here, I'm showing you a little mm-hmm. bookmark I have, and it takes you through the Psalms in a month. It's based on the reset, that a good old book of the Book of Common Prayer from way back. But for example, if I look at today, the 14th, this evening, my Psalms are 73 and 74. And it's one of those, Psalm 73 is exactly the one where the psalmist is trying to figure out why all the bad guys are prospering and why he, as a just man, is having such a hard time. And he said, this seemed to me too difficult to understand until I entered into the temple.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
In other words, what he's really saying is you can't figure out what's going on in life, but in the place of worship, you come into the book of Psalms, you come into the temple, you open your Bible and you kneel down, you sit down utterly perplexed and Lord, what's going on here? Yeah. And if you're quiet, it's amazing the answers that God will give you in those places.
Yeah. Wow. I just as a hobby and as a method of relaxation, I often do jigsaws. And sometimes you'd be doing a huge jigsaw and you've a whole section where you have bits stuck together. And then suddenly you realise that this whole section actually slides right down and fits into this other big whole section. It's always an exciting moment. But it's, I think, the way God reveals himself often is like that. There's a whole section of things going on. We don't quite understand them. But then suddenly God reveals how they lock into something else. It's very powerful and profound when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, Paul, we're going to, slightly earlier, but we've time enough for it, but we're going to take that psalm. Do you want to just give us the fuller version of it?
Psalm 73?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because we do take the psalm as, it's Jesus' prayer book.
That's right.
You know, and it's a great framework for our own personal prayer. Mm-hmm. That we can personalize the psalms, you know, put our own name in the middle of it and pray it through. In fact, Paul, one of the things I used to do years ago is I started writing my own psalms. I started at Psalm 151, because in the Bible,
but there is a Psalm 151 actually.
Is there?
In some of the books, I think it was maybe in the Dead Sea Scrolls, but there is in one of the collections there had actually 151 psalms. So if you Google Psalm 151, it won't be Anthony Brabazon's. There is.
Oh well, maybe I should start 152.
You weren't the first
then.
One. Yeah. It's like chapter. What was the one that the music group 29th chapter of Acts or something like that? You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we read? Should we read Psalm 73?
Yeah.
Okay. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure of heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It's very contemporary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They're not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Mm-hmm. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the God, the Lord God, my refuge, that I may tell all your works.
Wow, powerful stuff that. Yeah. And I just got a message in from saying, good programme, enjoying it, says Mick. And this chap seems to be also looking for a bit of money to be put into his cubby hole. Well, hard luck. We're not giving him any.
Hello, Mick. Anyway, and thanks for your
and you are listening to God Talk. We're here every Monday at 5 o'clock and we're also Thursday morning at 5.30 a.m. And you can also, if you miss all of that, you can get us on the Near FM website. There's a listen again section where we are with all our podcasts.
And then you go from listen again through general and then God Talk, because somebody has sent a link to it, some trouble finding it.
Listen again, general,
listen again,
God Talk.
General, and then God Talk. And there are, I think, 71 episodes up there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you very much, Paul, for being with us.
Yeah, and thank you, Ant, and good evening to all our listeners, and God bless you.
Yeah, and God bless you all, and have a wonderful evening.